Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. So Scrappy ABM is the only ABM service provider that delivers step-by-step programs for the crawl stage of account-based marketing. So if you're looking to get an ABM program launched, we are really an ABM enablement organization. So we help build programs, teach you how we built it, teach you how to run your own programs, and then ideally we're actually offboarding our clients after they've gotten everything that they need from us. So that's who we are, and that's what we do. Again, I always like to lead with the personal. You may actually hear my daughter in the background as I reference, but you have a 10-month-old, and it's just been a lot of fun. So I'm first a husband and a father and a believer in Christ. And then in addition to that, I happen to run a company called Scrappy ABM. On the next slide, we can talk through just some of the things that we've done. So in the past 3 years, I personally have run a number of marketing programs as a solo marketer that have sourced about $7 million in actual tangible revenue. And I've worked primarily in boutique and bootstrap businesses that have very little marketing budget. So including tech, headcount, and just a lot of time. It's been about a 20x ROI for the companies that I've worked for and worked with. So again, as I mentioned, we're the only ABM service provider that delivers those step-by-step programs. And specifically in the context of events, just this year alone, I've been to 3 events between March and May. So I went to B2B MX, which was a larger event with about 3,000 people. I also went to Golden Hour that had about 280 people. So a much smaller event. And I went to an event in Wisconsin called Experience Inbound. That was a very regional event. So 3 radically different audiences, but out of those different events, I was able to source about 47 qualified opportunities. 7 of those clients have already closed. And again, if you're thinking B2B timeframes to have deals closed that were sourced where they met me for the first time in March and are now already closed, or even May in some of these contexts, these are flying through the pipeline. And additionally, we have a full pipeline. 12 of those opportunities are from these 3 different events. So hopefully some of the playbooks that we'll walk through today will help you have similar results. I like to walk through how to get the most out of today. For starters, if you are a writer or if you have a laptop, go ahead and put this in your notes. And I operate on 2 screens. So if you operate on 2 screens, this is going to be really helpful. Data, distribution, destination, and direction. Scrappy ABM has developed a couple of frameworks, but that is our number one framework for how to build any program. So it's, again, data, distribution, destination, and direction. We'll come back to that here in just a moment. Next thing, again, you guys are here, but I can also guarantee that there are team members that you have that have a ton of questions around how to make the most out of your events. So I would go into Slack and say, hey, I'm listening to this guy wearing a lot of black and green and orange talk about how to make events more profitable. Go ahead and message that in your Slack and say, if you guys have any questions, there's going to be a Q&A at the end, and I'd love to make sure that we answer questions, not just for you guys, but for your whole team. And then lastly, I love setting time blocks with team members to go ahead and set a time block specifically with your content team. And we'll come back to why that's important here towards the end. What I want to dive into is the current logic around ABM. So we are often looking at sending SDRs to events. If we look at what she's holding, this is my daughter as a 5-month-old. And generally speaking, we send SDRs to events that don't have a lot of experience. It was honestly, at one point, I was talking with an SDR team. They're like, yeah, we send our least productive SDRs to events to give them the opportunity. And I think that's a complete mess. And on top of that, we're in remote sales. And if you think about a lot of the SDRs that are in market today that may have 3 years of experience. Well, 3 years ago, it was happening. Well, it was 2021. And a year before that, there was this pandemic that happened that put all of us into remote work. So literally, people have graduated from college. They got their first job. They're an SDR. They may have 2 to 3 years of experience as an SDR. In the midst of a current economic environment, they've likely been laid off already, maybe twice. They just got a new job, and they have very little industry experience. And on top of that, they don't actually spend a lot of time in person in professional environments. And as a result, they don't know how to have some of these conversations. And I don't mean that as an insult to anybody. They legitimately just haven't had the reps. They don't know how to have professional conversations that aren't transactional around a specific time block of 30 minutes. So that's the context. We think by putting them in a room of 20-year veterans in the industry, that they are going to be able to network and connect and actually have great deep conversations. And again, when we think about events, we are often sending our least productive salespeople to these events with the top target-rich environment. And we think with that equation, dollar-dollar bills, y'all, of course, this is going to be a recipe for success. Of course, we're going to drink ton and tons of money. When in reality, we see we just set a bunch of money on fire. I mean, again, for some of you that are sponsoring events, event sponsorships on the low end. I help with a virtual conference called Guru Events. The virtual low end for that conference is $4,500. $4,500 for the low end of a virtual conference. Event sponsorship is expensive, not to mention travel, lodging, food, and salaries for a week. So this is not we make events successful. Instead, we should be running through an ABM program. And I always like to start with what is ABM? Because there's 1,000 different definitions. So the definition that we like to use is ABM is a B2B revenue strategy that aligns the revenue team around a set of shared target accounts. So in the context of ABM, that's what we're running with for today. It's aligning the entire revenue team. When I say revenue, that's marketing, that's sales, that's customer success. We're on a set of shared target accounts. Why are events amazing for ABM programs? And there's a very clear answer. And when we think through the success, events are generally a very target-rich environment. Because when you think about events, like I'm going to use B2B MX as an example. B2B MX, business-to-business marketing exchange. Do you know who went to that event? Business-to-business marketers. Golden Hour was an event entirely around owned media. Do you know who went to that event? People that were super passionate about owned media and first-party engagement. I went to another event called CMO Summit. Do you know who's at CMO Summit? CMOs. Do you know who was at the Experience Inbound event that was in Wisconsin? Marketers that lived in Wisconsin. And I'll be honest, all very different audiences, but all very target-rich audiences around specific topics. And the idea for context on Experience Inbound, it was two HubSpot agencies that said inbound is very expensive. We want to bring the experience of inbound to our neighborhood. So in that context, even though it was a Wisconsin type event, it was very focused around HubSpot. So all of these events, even the largest context of the event of B2B MX being a B2B marketing, still pretty specific. So they're target rich around specific topics or industries. Huge opportunity for focus. And it was also really hard for events. And this next slide for a lot of people is going to maybe cross your eyes, but I promise I'll explain it. In the context of ABM, there's this idea of an account progression model. So some of the accounts that we're trying to engage don't know that we exist. And the goal is to make sure that they know that we exist. There are other accounts that are starting to maybe show some form of initial engagement, but they're not ready to buy, obviously. Like they're just finding out that we exist. They just know a little bit about what we do. Then we're getting to like meaningful engagement. We're like, all right, they're starting to explore some of our products and some of our services. And then they are at a marketing qualified account stage. They are ready to buy. And then we're re-engaging those accounts to then get them into our pipeline. We're qualifying those accounts. And then we generate an opportunity. The challenge with events in the context of ABM is that every single person at this event is in all of these stages. All of them. All that to say, they're in all of these stages at the same time. So when you build a digital ABM program, which is where a lot of people are living, they can control every interaction and every touch point. In the context of an event, you can't. Like you may have somebody that comes up to you and says, I'm really interested in your thing, and you're diving really deep into that thing, while at the same time trying to also engage someone that doesn't know what you do. You have to have both of those conversations at the same time. So again, that's why ABM can be really hard for some people in the context of an event. So the question is, how do we solve for that? We solve for that in the context of what I refer to as activation playbooks. So you saw it a little bit on the last slide of we have this account progression model. And next to that are then these activation playbooks. So the definition of activation playbooks are the repeatable processes for when sales or CS become involved in specific customer conversations. So again, this is all generalized information around how to do ABM and how do you create playbooks that are specific to when you should engage your sales team. So now we'll get into the framework. And that framework is data, distribution, destination, and direction. So when we think about data, data is who are we going after, why are we reaching out, and how do we message these people appropriately? Again, a lot of people understand how that works in a digital context. They may not necessarily immediately think through how that works in an event context, which is what we'll dig into. We've got five different playbooks for you so that you can see exactly tactically how to go and execute these things. Next is distribution. So the question is, how do we get in front of these people? What are the channels that we're going to use? Next is then destination. So what are you pointing them to? What's the content? And then lastly is direction. How are we tracking it? So again, data, distribution, destination, and direction. So that's our 4D framework. So now that we've kind of set the stage, what I want to dig into with Mitch for the next 20 minutes would be specific practical playbooks around specific situations that then you can help your teams go and execute. So if we go on to the next couple of slides, these are the different playbooks that you should run. So the first playbook is around the pre-event. So before the event's even started, you should try to start to set up some meetings or engage these audiences before you get there. One of the core challenges around any event program is because our target-rich environment, we often rely on serendipity. So we're like, we're going to go and we're going to meet people and we'll meet people when we're there and it'll be a great time. When in reality, ideally, you're actually setting up quite a few meetings before you get there. So you've gone from serendipitous to intentional. And again, you can then actually have a higher likelihood that your events will be successful. The question is always then, where do we find these people? How do we know who's going to the event? So one of the things that we've done, and then Mitch, I know that you've got a ton of experience on exactly how to find your audiences, but for Scrappy ABM, we're looking generally at three places. One is the event website or the event app. One of the things that's not often talked about, or not often enough, is like the agenda is live. You can see who's speaking at the event, and speakers are also sometimes target accounts. So you guaranteed can know, hey, that speaker's going to be there and I would love to talk to them. So that's one thing. The other is, for example, B2BMX was a larger event. They had an event app that opened up about 2 weeks before the event. People started to create their agendas. They were able to message back and forth. And I used to think it was really, forgive me for being so blunt, I thought it was really dumb to send somebody a message in an event app because I was like, that's going to be lost. Like, that's not tracked anywhere. And like, it's in this platform that I'll never have access to after this event is over. In the exact same vein, it's a relatively underutilized tool because not many people are messaging there. So again, you can use the event app as a way to engage an audience. Next would be social media. Tons of people are using hashtags. Tons of people are posting that they're heading to an event. If you search on LinkedIn for that hashtag, you can likely find who's going to the event and follow up one-to-one. And then lastly, from here, it's just, if you've been to an event previously and you know who went to last year's event, I don't know about you, I often go to the same events every year, at least for a few years on end, because I really enjoy the event. So there's a higher likelihood that somebody will be returning if they went last year. So before we dig into then what to do with those audiences, Mitch, are there any other thoughts you've got around how to even find the audience pre-event?
Yeah, and I think that the three tactics that you laid out for traditional conferences, summits, expos, those are the tactics that we see as effective as well. What this doesn't cover is events that are custom that marketers might do for themselves. So maybe even just like a small roundtable dinner for 12 people or a half day conference for 25 people, that kind of thing. Even larger summits for 100, 200 people. Most of our clients set those up custom for themselves. And then they might bring in partners as sponsors and so forth. But those companies who build their own or run their own events with us, they know exactly who's coming because everybody who comes is invited. So our process of finding who's going to be there is turned around a little bit to who are we going to invite? Who do we want to be there? And then obviously our clients are looking at their CRMs for that, or they're looking at their target account list for their ABM strategy and saying, who's our aspirational, you know, who's our top 50 accounts that we'd really like to get in front of, and let's invite them. And so, of course, we'll want to promote this in social and on their event website and all of that. But for the kinds of events that we see a lot of ROI from, inviting them and keeping control of things that way is a really powerful way to make sure that you're in a very target-rich environment because nobody's there you didn't invite.
Yeah, I really, really love the call out, especially for those that are sponsoring an event. Like, for example, I'm speaking at an event and I got a few tickets as a part of my thank you for being a speaker package. And you're exactly right. I can invite my target accounts and say, hey, I'd love to see you there. And that has actually been one of the ways in which I've been able to, one, get my target accounts into an environment where they can hear from me if I'm speaking, but also then keep the conversation going, build a deeper relationship. So I think that's a great call out. As far as standard distribution, again, this is largely going to be things like email and LinkedIn. Personally, this is a preference. I like LinkedIn as the primary distribution method for most of my outbounding programs, primarily because with LinkedIn, you can connect with somebody and it can feel serendipitous. No one likes to feel targeted. Whereas if it's an email and they haven't given you their email prior, it's very clear you're targeting them. So again, I like LinkedIn for sometimes the illusion of serendipity and the illusion of not feeling targeted. The other thing again is you can utilize the event app and send direct messages through that if they have an app. As far as destination, there's gonna be one of two ways that you can do this. When I think through destination again, it's what are you pointing them to? If you're hosting a session, I would highly recommend you just point them to the session that you're hosting and say, hey, would love to see you there and catch up. Also, I am talking on this thing. So if this is relevant for you, like I'd love to make sure that I can help out through that session. That's one way. Another thing is, again, if you don't have a session that you're speaking at, just creating an intentional time and saying, hey, I'd love to see you there. I don't know about you, this event looks super jam-packed. Like, would you be open to like hanging out over lunch at noon? And again, you can then set a time. And then additionally, you can always point them to the booth. From my experience, booth is not the best place to send. I think we all run a lot of ads towards booths, but like the booth is very clearly a pitch zone. A meeting over lunch is maybe just peers connecting. And then last thing around tracking, it's relatively simple. Did they book a meeting? Did they join your session? That's really the tracking components. Yep. Mitch, anything else to add on pre-event?
Yeah. So totally on that page with you in terms of tracking. You know, our tracking starts when we first engage a prospective attendee, and we're touching them multiple times between that initial, yes, I'm interested in coming, to them actually showing up. For something that's pretty straightforward, like a dinner, you know, most of those touches are, here's the address, you know, we'll send a car to pick you up, something like that. But when we're doing more traditional, you know, 100 people at a summit for emerging technology, we'll actually get on the phone with each of those 100 people that we want to be there. And we'll have a conversation with them 10 or 15 minutes to talk to them, make sure that they're qualified, make sure that they're pumped about coming, make sure that they're coming for the right reasons, and also kind of increase the chance that they're going to actually show up the day of by being really open about what we're trying to do. So, you know, we actually invite a lot of our participants to consider being on a panel session, to be one of our panelists. We pull them in that way because practitioners are typically powerful panelists. And so we engage them that way. Again, from, you know, fairly soon after they express interest in coming to the event, we do that. And coming back to distribution, totally on your page, LinkedIn is great. You can't rely, we haven't found that we can rely 100% on it just because there's volume caps. LinkedIn doesn't like you sending out huge volumes. So, you know, we'll do a split between email and LinkedIn in recruiting qualified participants. And, you know, the destination for our meetings, of course, is come to our dinner. That's it. That's the destination. Or if it's at a larger event where we're doing, you know, spanning a whole day, we will often We'll always set up an opportunity for scheduled one-on-one meetings between the attendees and the sponsors. And the thing that we do is a little different, and some other organizations do this. We haven't come across it too much. We ask each of our participants, would you like to sit down with vendor X or Y or Z? And they kind of, you know, look a little bit cornered and say, you know, do I have to? And the answer is always absolutely not. You don't need to meet with any sponsor you don't want to. This is not about us pitching you. This is about you wanting to find out more about them. So if you want to, if you're interested in those guys, we can set it up. If you're not interested in meeting with any of our sponsors, then shame on us for having bad sponsors. But you don't need to do that. And taking this approach makes people feel relaxed and not kind of backed into a corner. And as a result, we always set up more meetings with our sponsor for our sponsors than they than we promised. So that's our pre-activation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a quick question from Jamie just around. We find attendees, especially the high value ones, are being overwhelmed with outreach pre-event or the event. You know, if it's a highly coveted dinner or event location or thought leadership draw, but sometimes these aren't even working either. Like, any thoughts on how to essentially get these high value targets? And Jamie, I've got three thoughts based on three different contexts. So one, again, if you're going to an event in which you are specifically trying to engage someone that is already attending, then ideal state is this is a peer-to-peer connection. So again, I would not recommend having your SDRs reach out, but this is, hey, I'm also going to this event. What I have found, you know, I've got like a decent following on LinkedIn. So some people know that I exist. And I mean that sincerely, like some people know that I exist. And I've got other team members that aren't as well known. So what we have found is like when I reach out personally, it's an easier yes. And even if they don't know me, they'll go check out my LinkedIn, see that I'm a very real and very active person. And say like, oh, I would like to meet with this person. Or they may not, and that's okay too. Like if they don't want to meet with me, that's okay. Like that helps me to know they're probably not a qualified, well, maybe for not qualified, but probably not right timing. So again, that's okay. And then Mitch mentioned it earlier, but just some of your high value potential attendees are also probably really great panelists or great guests. So that may be another opportunity. And if neither one of those are working and you're still trying to figure something out, I personally, what I have found is I don't really like the one-to-one gifts. There's regulation around that often. There is, from my experience, the higher up the chain I go, the less valuable that an Amazon gift card is. So what I have found works well, and you referenced it, would just be thought leadership content. Like I saw an organization, B2BMX, specifically hire a production crew to create specific meetings and said, like, we want to do this. So we can specifically engage all the right people. We're going to ask them a specific line of questioning. We're going to turn it into content. Like all of that is viable. If those things don't work, admittedly, at the end of the day, decision makers are always hard to reach. These are just some actions that you can take, but some people don't want to engage at events. And I hate to put it that bluntly, but like there is no surefire way to engage every single individual. And some people really want to go to engage in content and they don't want to meet with people. And that's okay. This just means you need to engage those audiences in other ways.
Yeah, and those are all great points. I would add a couple things. One is one of the reasons why we focus on custom events that are happening solely for our clients or for, you know, a small group of sponsors, as opposed to trying to get traction at somebody's, you know, Dreamforce or, you know, any of these other big events, is that just like Mason said, a lot of people come for their own reasons, which have nothing to do with meeting with vendors. And so our focus is on stacking the odds to the extent that we can before the event by leveraging content, the thought leadership content, the smart people they're going to be in the room with and get to meet and network with, and the kinds of pain points that we're going to address with those sessions. If they're not interested in those things, if they're not feeling motivated by, you know, some different approaches to solving the pain points that they have, a gift card is not going to move the needle. And anyone who does respond because of a gift card is somebody that in most cases you don't want to talk to anyway, because they're not serious. Right. So there, it is a pretty small percentage of people that are going to be, you know, really engaged and interested in solving the kinds of pain points that your company solves. But those are the ones worth going after. And to me, that's ABM, right? It's focusing on those high value, high potential prospects, and not really wasting your time on the much larger universe of people who just aren't that important to your growth.
Cool. All right. So if you have a speaking slot and you are actually getting the opportunity to speak, one of the things that I think about from a data perspective that might be a little bit unique in a framing is if you have an audience in a room, marketing often talks about how do I find my ideal audience and engage that audience? And that's our data pool. In the context of a speaking engagement, that is your audience. That is your data pool. So the room that you're actively speaking to is the data source. The distribution in this context is actually you speaking, like it's the session. And then the destination, and this is where I think a lot of people miss, the destination is what do I point them to? And again, there are two ways to do this. And I've seen a great example. I don't know if anybody's familiar with a company called User Gems. User Gems generally does great case study type content around this company partnered with User Gems, and User Gems does what is referred to as champion tracking. So they follow your current customers when they move to a new job, and they let you know, hey, this person that bought from you previously now works in a new company. You could go after them again. And they give great examples and great case studies. And what they then do is they say, hey, if you want to see how many of your customers have moved jobs into new jobs, that would be your same ICP, scan this QR code and upload some data and see for yourself. And they crush because they get actual showing. This is exactly the number of people that you currently have in your database that you didn't know about. Huge win. So it's a unique asset that ties directly back into the speaking session. If you don't have that, because a lot of people don't, then I would recommend another content medium that is a speaking medium with the same speaker. So like prime example, I host a podcast every single week. I talk a lot, sometimes to my benefit, sometimes to my detriment. All that to say, I just do a lot of spoken content. So when somebody hears me speak at a session or in a virtual thing like this, and I say, hey, you should go check out my podcast. If they liked this, they'll probably like that because it's really similar. And it's a way that we can ensure that somebody that engages with us once at an event continues to engage with us for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Because for me, with a podcast as an example, they hang out with me every week for like an hour. And they just get to hang out with me. So like, yeah, if you want more like this, this is exactly how it does. So again, this is the example. So if you want more like this, you can scan the QR code. And then the tracking mechanism around it is, did they scan the QR code? And if they did, you know that you won. Because I just pulled this from Apple. It's not very difficult to create custom URL or custom QR codes that are UTM tagged based on the events. You can actually see the number of people that have scanned through based on the session that you actually attended. So again, that's a very basic, highly tactical way that you can do this. Mitch, are there any thoughts you have specifically as to how to engage with a speaking slot?
Yeah, I think, of course, I described before how we do that, and we invite our participants to be on panels, and we help kind of make that happen. But I think that, and you know, this won't work if you're going to somebody else's event, but if you're doing your own event, I do recommend recording the sessions. Because especially if that session is an interactive one, and we're a big believer in interactive sessions. So if we have a panel session, let's say we've got 10 panel sessions over a full day conference, that's not just the panelist speaking. That's the panelist speaking for maybe 25% of the time, and the other 75% is the audience asking their questions and sharing their experiences. And that's all gold. They're unguarded. They're talking about, you know, what matters to them. And it's a great source of rich data about what your target market cares about. how they talk about it, the vocabulary they use to describe it. So recording that and then doing the hard work of making sense of it and turning that into future content. Oh, here's a great idea for a topic we can cover next time. Or, wow, several people talked about this challenge. Let's build a white paper around that because it totally maps to what we solve. Any of those things are great ways to make use of that session, and most especially what the participants, what the audience is saying and asking about.
Couldn't agree more. So we have another playbook for if you have a speaking session. And again, this is something that is, I think, a great opportunity if you have an event app. What I very functionally did at B2BMX is I spoke, there were about 300 people in the room, and I then went through the event app and saw every single person that had registered for my session. And I went and I shot every single person a message. Because of the event app, I was able to see exactly who was there. And I could then filter down by, again, this is manual, but you could filter down by who was actually there and who was a right fit. So your distribution is really simple and your data is really simple. Your destination then is, hey, if you have any further questions after attending my session, I'd love to make sure that I can get you everything that you need while you're here. Would you be open to like having a conversation? And you can book an on-site meeting. The other thing that often happens when you speak at an event is people will come up to you and out of the kindness of their heart, they will just say, hey, I really enjoyed your session. Or, hey, you had a great session. Thank you so much. And what I always then say as a standard script is, thank you so much. I got two quick questions for you. What was the most helpful thing? And what would you want more of? The helpful thing helps me to understand what am I actually saying that's actually beneficial. The what did you want more of helps me to dive in to what's an existing problem that they haven't yet figured out. And then I can have a conversation with them on that problem right then and there. So again, this is a way that you can convert these people into ongoing conversations versus, oh my goodness, thank you for your session. As you're just like kind of walking around. The direction here is, again, relatively simple. Did they book a meeting? And the other thing that I want to call out is, did we log in HubSpot or Salesforce? One of the things that I have been horrible at for all of my events is I didn't have the HubSpot app. So I wasn't logging anything. And then I would get back to my desk and I'd log into HubSpot and I'd be like, I don't remember any of the context of anything that I did. And I referenced earlier that I had 47 qualified opportunities. Many of them had calls or conversations in person. I didn't get their information, couldn't follow up. It's a huge mess on my part. So again, don't be like me. Log your data from a direction perspective. And then when you actually have these conversations in person, you can keep the conversation going. Final thought, in case you thought I was horrible, I did send them a link to book a meeting. People just got busy and they just didn't book the meeting to continue the conversation. So again, get contact information to continue the conversation after you've had it in the first place. Mitch, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's all great advice. And I especially like your approach to somebody who comes up to you and says, thanks for the session. I think, you know, and the second question that you ask, you know, is there something that you wanted to get that you didn't get? And generally when I'm hosting a session or when I'm advising one of my clients or helping them to run a session, that's my go-to question at the end. You know, we've got maybe 6 or 7 minutes left in the session, and that's the go-to question while we're still in the session. Hey, we talked about a lot of things today, but you came with your own needs. What would you like to get? What would you like to make sure we talk about before we wrap up the session? And that almost always gets us some great additional questions and reasons for engaging. And then, you know, doing it after the fact is great as well, one-on-one, to try to see where we can, you know, steer a sales conversation. But yeah, those are great, great ideas.
All right. So let's say you go to a session or you go to an event and you don't have a speaking slot, because I've now been to quite a few events and I didn't speak. I don't speak at every event that I go to. What I have found works really, really well is there's often a lot of sessions. There's a lot of topics that are addressed. And I like to go to sessions in which I viably could solve the problem. I'll give you a quick example because I actually have it on my desk. Again, B2BMX, they had this 3-hour expert ABM certification that was hosted by DemandBase. It was a good session. It was a really, really great session. What I have found is that demand-based is generally great for scaled organizations. Scrappy ABM is great for not scaled organizations. That's what we do. So there were not scaled organizations that went to that session hoping to get expert insights on how to build ABM for their context, but they didn't get it. And that's not any fault to that session. They were admittedly right problem, wrong audience. Whereas when I walk in the room, right problem, they're my audience. So I can now use that session and kind of look at the room and figure out, okay, who's asking questions? Because generally people that are asking questions when you're in a session are like really thinking about it and they really want to get answers. And they're asking questions and you listen to the answers. And I hate to put it this way, the answers are like, that is not working for their context. That's okay. You can follow up with them one-to-one. So again, in that context, that's a great data source. Your distribution, surprise, surprise, in the context of an event, just a conversation. So again, the goal would be, how do I have repeatable conversation starters? So things like, hey, it's great to meet you. What are you hoping to get out of this session? And like doing that before the session starts. The next would be, after the session is over, hey, great to meet you. What did you get out of that session? Same question, just in the past. So like those all work. The other thing would just be if somebody asks really great questions saying, hey, I really appreciated your questions. I wanted the same things about XYZ topics. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know that what they said matches my context generally or the context for my clients, but I'd love to, like, was that helpful for you? Just like asking that directly. All of those things, great conversation starters as a way of distribution, destination. You're not going to convert somebody right out of that. This is awareness stage. So having an expectation that you go to somebody else's session and you have a conversation and then suddenly they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I need your solution. Might happen, not the expectation. So the expectation here is, how do I form a relationship? And generally I like to do that through LinkedIn. On LinkedIn's app, for those of you that don't know, if you click the search bar in the app, there is a QR code. And you can just pull up a QR code on your app where somebody can scan your QR code and it will immediately pull up your profile. So you can just say, hey, I'd really love to connect on LinkedIn. Would you just want to scan this real quick? And then it'll take you to my profile. We can connect that way. Super easy. Direction. Do you actually see the notification that they connected with you on LinkedIn? Yes or no? That's how you track that without a speaking session. Mitch, any thoughts on that front?
Yeah, no, I think these are all great ideas. And I particularly like the example you gave of, you know, ABM certification, 3 hours, great content, you know, from Demandbase, who, you know, huge name in the field. But then probably a significant portion of the people in that room, it was not aimed at them. And they might have found it, you know, interesting in an aspirational kind of way. But in terms of going back to their office on Monday and applying stuff, it was like, this doesn't really help me. So that's a great thing to focus on. And it's also, I come back to, a reason to consider doing your own event, because then you can invite only people who are your target and none of the people who aren't. And because targeting is critically important, and it's so important to actually, first of all, creating good relationships. You mentioned, you know, one of the goals here, one of the conversion points is, you know, you're not expecting people to show up with a PO, but you are hoping to start some relationships, start to get to know people, start to understand their problems and where they're coming from and how you might be able to help. And guess what? Part of helping might be saying, oh, you know, you should probably talk to Demandbase because they really solve the kind of problem that you have. And we solve this problem, and that's okay, right? It doesn't have to be always about you. But it's building those relationships, super important, having the right people there. You know, you mentioned earlier, Mason, about some of the great conversion results that you've seen in leveraging events recently. And, you know, that conversion is, events are such a great way to create conversion from, you know, a piece of data to somebody who is interested in talking to you and possibly someday becoming a customer. When we do targeted events with our clients, dinners and things like that, especially like a small roundtable dinner, we typically see, and this will sound like an exaggeration, but it absolutely is not, 50% conversion from they showed up at the meeting to they were interested in and had a sales meeting after the event. And that was because we engaged them with conversation. The client engaged them with conversation. There was no sales pressure. It was just, you know, them talking and asking and listening instead of pitching.
Love it. Only other thing on this point before moving to the final playbook would just be, in my mind, this is largely focused on your SDR teams. So again, this is how do we cast a wider net? Yes, you could do this as an SME, but this is something that when I think about SME specific playbooks, these would be things like pre-event or speaking engagements. So again, just want to call this out. Like if you have an SDR team, you're like, what do I do with them? This is it. Because the primary goal here is to create the connection that can then be followed up on after the event. Last one, this is what you do if you have an SME that comes with you to an event. Again, I've worked with another event company, and even in our sponsorship packages, we outline you have to bring one executive. Like you get six tickets. One of them has to be an executive. The other five can be sellers. We don't care. But like you've got to bring somebody that can have a peer-to-peer conversation. That's the first thing. And again, from a data perspective, you could start with the session. You could start with going to another person's session. Any of these work. You can even do this pre-event of like, hey, I'd love to get you connected with our VP of finance at a finance conference. But the distribution here is the goal is obviously going to be conversations, but the purpose is you send your SDRs and your AEs out to go find right people and to start these conversations in such a way that then they can bring them to the SME. And the goal is if you start with anything else, the core difference with if you didn't have a speaking session versus this one is your destination wouldn't be LinkedIn. You may still do that. But again, let's say I'm having a conversation and we're getting really in the weeds on something. And I'm like, I'm totally out of my depth, but they're clearly interested in like solving this challenge. You can say, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know. But I can guarantee that so-and-so who works with our VP of finance would love to like talk to you about, could we go meet him real quick or meet her real quick? And what you've now done is honestly, you did something that most people don't do, which is admit, I don't know, but I want to find the answer for you. And I have an answer. It's just not me. And that's okay. That's not your role as the AE or the SDR to have every answer. It's to find the right people at the event to then foster those peer-to-peer connections. So the destination is then having the SME meet with this other person, which is awesome. Then the direction here, here's the goal. And this is going to sound wild. And I'll give you a quick example of how it works. You want to hear the prospect's problems so deeply and understand them so much and give them everything that you possibly can to solve it for them in their current context. You want to be there and make sure that after they've walked away from the conversation with you, they don't need you, which is very counterintuitive. What this turns into is you've now built exponential trust because they're like, wow, this person actually knows their stuff and they care about me. Crazy idea. I was talking with somebody else on a podcast earlier today. The core of ABM is like actually care about your customers and like only target those that have a problem that you are the solution to. So again, in the direction context, have your SME like give everything away, give away the secret sauce and support. I did this at an event and I was talking with the president of an organization that was like, we're trying to build an ABM program. We only have HubSpot and like, we don't know how to do it. And I was like, I do. I went really deep. I'm like, here's how you build account-based chats. Here's how you build account-based advertising. Here's how you do like automated list segmentation through your workflows. And I talked with them for like 30 minutes. I was like, here's everything that I would do if I were in your shoes right now, given your current context. And they're like, this was so helpful. We don't know how to do any of that. And we don't have the time to fix it. Would you do it for us? And they have a contract in hand and they're starting next week. So, and that was an event that was in May. That was a 40-day sales cycle for a six-figure contract that met me for the first time, and I gave them everything that I could possibly give them. They're like, amazing. Will you just do it for us? The other thing that happens, because that's not always the answer. Sometimes they say, amazing. Thank you so much. And then they'll walk away and do it without you. And guess what? There will be another problem that you can solve and they already trust you. Or the other thing is what I found is that all of my target accounts are friends with my target accounts and they all have the same problems. So they're going to talk to one another and be like, well, I talked to this guy and he helped me walk through everything on how to solve the problem. You may want to talk to him too. And they'll be like, I don't have the time, but I do have the money. So let's do it. And now you've created a referral partner because you had peer-to-peer connections where you actually were a peer and not a vendor. So that's the direction. Did they have a conversation? And did you actually help the person? This is my favorite of all the playbooks. It's admittedly the most fluffy. It's most effective. So anyway, that's my soapbox. Mitch, any thoughts or questions on that?
Yeah, amazing. I love that. And I agree with you 1,000%. Give it away. Confident in the knowledge that that prospect wants to do it, sees that you're trustworthy, but doesn't have the bandwidth to do it themselves, so they want to pay somebody to do it, or that they will, in gratitude for your generosity, refer you to other clients. So 100% agree. Let me talk a little bit about SMEs, because we basically require all our clients to bring an SME to the events that we do, because they're their events, right? And so the last thing I want to see is somebody from our client, somebody from AWS, for example, sending a salesperson to run a session. That's, you can have salespeople there, but we need an SME. And not all SMEs are created equal. If you're going to have someone there who's going to be the face of your company and that trust building and that kind of face of, yes, we have the expertise you need, then you need somebody who genuinely has product knowledge. So that can be a head of product. It could be somebody with an explicit evangelist title. Those exist. Could be somebody in marketing, if they know the product and the target market well. Sometimes you're lucky if we have a client who sells into controllers and CFOs, and they put their own controller as the SME. And that's great because they're a practitioner and not just a theoretical expert. So all of those are great. Get somebody who knows their stuff and also who knows how to work a room. So you don't want to get somebody who's like so in the weeds that they don't know how to talk to human beings. But that's what I would say about choosing SMEs.
All right, love it. All right, we've got like 4 minutes. So if you have questions, drop them in. If we go to the next slide, if you liked content like this, I literally talk about this stuff twice a week on a podcast. So feel free to scan that. And I'd love to have you join me every Monday and Thursday. So again, any questions, other than connect with us on LinkedIn, happy to answer any questions that you may have there. Mason Cosby, no R. Fun fact, that Wisconsin event, I did actually speak at the Green Bay Packers Stadium where there was Mason Crosby as the famous kicker. People were very disappointed that I did not have an R in my name. All that to say, any questions?
Yeah, I think we may get some questions later. And I think, I definitely encourage you to check out Mason's podcast. Obviously, he's got some great approaches for marketers looking to scale. For those of you who have already gone down that scale journey and are pretty scaled yourself and are ready to go a little bigger, we'd love to talk to you about larger events. You're doing your own events. And most especially, even if you're not ready to do anything, but this is just something that's interesting to you, and you're trying to build out this function in your organization, come and join our community. We have a community for event marketing, and it's in that QR code that I shared earlier. We'd love to have you come and join. And yeah, we'd welcome any questions, follow-up, or otherwise that you have for us.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.